God, everybody, welcome to BO Boys for Thursday, March 14th. Fuck it, it's a raw feed. We're doing it live. I'm Clayton.
Yeah, I'm Pat. Clayton, this is a preview episode, and we have got quantity this week. I don't know if we've got quality at the box office. I don't think we've got big numbers at the box office. We'll see, but we've got a lot of quantity, a lot of, it's almost like a for sale, you know, a clearinghouse here this weekend before Ghostbusters Frozen Empire comes in, before the collab Godzilla X Kong comes in a few weeks. So a lot of movies to get through. Do you mind if I just throw something out and we just go for it? We just talk about a
movie?
You
mean throw one of these movies out so we don't have to talk about it?
No.
Anthony Hopkins movie that we don't have to talk about, although you want to?
Let's start with that then. Of all the movies this week, let's end with Anthony Hopkins. Let's start with let's start with the movie that you've seen already that came out in limited last week and is going wide this week.
Oh, okay. Okay. My most anticipated movie of the spring.
It is your most anticipated, and you've already seen it. So I don't know if you could still anticipate the opening, but Kristen Stewart in a lesbian crime drama that it's not Driveaway Dolls. This is a new one in this burgeoning genre of lesbian crime dramas. Love Lies Bleeding. So you've seen this film.
Yes.
It's going wide right now. What are your thoughts for, does this have breakout potential?
Now, when we did our massive spring preview with the great Jeff Bock of Exhibitor Relations Co.
Yep, great man.
I made a statement originally when we first started talking about that. Said it was my most anticipated movie of the spring, and that I thought this had the possibility to do 30 to 40.
Yeah, yeah. Or more. You were thinking this could be Pulp Fiction.
Well, I never said that. You're putting words in my mouth.
Okay.
But I, you know, stepped back a little bit with that. Mm-hmm. I walked that back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Said, okay, maybe this is going to be more likely 11, 12, 14 situation.
Right, right.
I'm going to step even further back than
that. Okay. Wow, you're really walking this back.
Because I did not enjoy this film.
Wow, okay.
I'm but not this a is critic.
Kristen
I'm
Stewart.
Not a critic.
Your girl.
Yes. Cover girl of Rolling Stone.
Yep.
Controversial cover.
Okay.
I love that we still live in a world where there can be a controversial Rolling Stone cover.
I don't want to live in a world where that's not possible.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's coming.
We were born and raised in a world with controversial Rolling Stone covers.
Yes, where breasts were covered with hands. You know, obviously the famous Demi Moore pregnant belly nude cover.
Kanye West dressed as Jesus.
Conway West dressed as Jesus later on. Yes, yes. Magazines have been controversial throughout our entire life. And I'm glad Kristen Stewart could still keep them controversial.
But she's out there promoting.
Is she on the new cover? She's not on the cover of the new Deadspin, right? That's not happening anymore.
No, that's not happening. Okay. So she has been out there promoting. She's promoting this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. The star of this film is going out there and promoting.
Yes.
I just think that it doesn't have to do with any of the queer content as to why this will not do well.
No, of course not.
I think it has to do with the fact that, and no spoiler, it is a huge bummer.
Okay.
It is a huge bummer the whole time. And some movies can be hits or small hits with being bummers the whole time.
Right.
This I don't feel is going to be one of those movies.
Okay.
I just think it is too big of a bummer the whole time.
Wow. Okay. Dave Franco's in this movie. He's not fun because he's usually not a bummer. He's not usually great, but he's usually not a bummer.
So this is okay. I'm not going to review this movie.
Yeah, we're not critics.
I'm not Brett from the New Flesh.
Yes, that is his job, and we're not looking to take food off of his baby's plate by being critics. No.
What I'm saying here is that just as an audience member, not as a critic, who was really looking forward to this movie, I was disappointed. And I think that that word of mouth is going to spread.
Okay.
People like me are going to tell other people who don't have the chance to see movies in limited release. They're Earth Dogs, the Stax Dwellers.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to hear through elites like myself to maybe pass on this one.
Okay.
So I think that's going to seriously damage the opening. Now, this is not a movie that you were necessarily going to go see, right?
But
I said, Pat.
Yeah.
It was everything and more.
Right, right.
You would take the wife to see this movie.
Yes, yes. Or go see it on my own. But if you had said this is the new Pulp Fiction, I would have got my keister to a theater and I would have seen Love's Lies Bleeding. But yes, I will not see that in the theater now because I trust your review enough. This movie also is only, I'm seeing it's only going into 1,200 theaters this weekend. Mm-hmm. It did open limited last weekend.
And it did well. It did well.
Average of 33,000 a screen on 5 screens in New York and LA. So, I mean, you couldn't have more of a hometown game for that limited release than 5 theaters in New York and LA. So I honestly don't think you could extrapolate much from the good per screen average on that few theaters.
I mean, she's out there. So we'll
see out there, which is great.
What drawing power that, I mean, she was on Colbert.
Yep.
He didn't cry that I know of during the interview. So he's able to hold it together.
Did he talk about, as one of the mayonnaise men, did Stephen Colbert talk about his fellow mayonnaise man, Jimmy Kimmel hosting the Oscars? Did they talk about that? Or that was before Kimmel hosted the Oscars?
It's like I'm watching the show. You're acting like I'm watching the show. I saw that she was on.
And you saw it.
I didn't watch it. I'm not watching a second of Colbert. I'm not watching a second of Kimmel. I'm not watching a second of these mayonnaise men. Okay.
Got it. Okay. Let's move on to another movie then. Let's move on to Arthur the King. Mark Wahlberg. So this is Mark Wahlberg, and he's in some kind of worldwide or maybe just cross country or just, you know, in a region somewhere. He's in a race where they're switching from foot to bicycle to climbing to their zip lining in this trailer, which I find very interesting. And the twist is a stray dog happens upon them, him and his team that's in this race, this like 10-day race. And the dog starts hanging out with them. And they're like, how did the dog get here? We don't know, but this dog seems tough. Let's call him Arthur the King. In the trailer, there's a great moment where the dog keeps them from walking off a cliff. So I guess in this type of race, people do just walk off of cliffs if they don't have the right, you know, a stray dog stopping them. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting opener to me because it is Mark Wahlberg, whose star has waned from his height. You know, he's not the lone survivor anymore, where he had that run where he's just, everything's making $100 million. You know, Lone Survivor was just a giant hit.
And he's pivoted to Streamo.
He's pivoted to Streamo, but this is theatrical. It is Lionsgate.
As soon as you said that, I said it's Lionsgate. And
it is Lionsgate.
I'll tell you what, Pat.
That's the problem.
I'm not seeing anything for this anywhere.
No. It is a premise. Mark Wahlberg and a dog out on an adventure doing a race, you know, zip lining, which obviously I don't think zip lining's at its peak of its popularity, but I think it's still popular. And it's a premise that I would think could have been a hit if it had some promotion behind it, which this does not seem like it has. I've seen this trailer for months. Like, me and you have seen this trailer together before, but I mean, we watched the Academy Awards this weekend. I saw no Arthur the King ads. Super Bowl a month before that, I saw no Arthur the King ads. I'm just not seeing Mark Wahlberg out there promoting this. I mean, what's going on here? How come they're not promoting Mark Wahlberg and a dog, which seems like you can make some money on that?
Well, is this a faith-based movie, or is it only, I'm assuming it's faith-based because Mark Wahlberg's life is faith-based?
I think it's faith-based in that sense that at this point, anything Mark Wahlberg does is going to be based in faith. Mm-hmm. You know, he is based in faith. So I think you get a burger at Wahlburgers, that Wahlburger is going to be faith-based. But, you know, if there was ever a Departed sequel that Mark Wahlberg was in, that would be faith-based by nature of just Mark Wahlberg being in it. And I guess if Scorsese is directing it, he's always grappling with his faith. But mm-hmm. Arthur the King from the trailer does not seem faith-based. You know, maybe it's sneakily faith-based, but I think from watching this trailer a few times, I couldn't find any overt faith other than, yeah, Mark Wahlberg is a man of faith.
Now, you're saying you think this would or could be a hit if it was promoted.
What makes you
think that? Is it because of the dog element?
Yes, because of the dog element and because of, I mean, just let's go back a couple of years in February of 2022 and a movie called Dog with Channing Tatum opened February 18, 2022, opened to $14.8 million, and then it just an incredible hold the next weekend, made $10 million. That movie ended up grossing $61 million domestic. Mm-hmm. And it was just Channing Tatum and a dog go on an adventure.
It's so funny that you mentioned Dog because that's a movie I saw and really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And it did so well for what it was.
Yep.
That, you know, Channing Tatum, I don't think we gave him respect.
Yes.
But it feels like that. And then he had Lost Kingdom or what was it?
Lost City, back to back. And Lost City did $100 million. And this is 22, you know, before things really got back to normal.
And you're thinking, okay, what is he going to do next? And I think it is that Zoe Kravitz, it was called Pussy Island, though I think they renamed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, his next big thing.
Right.
So, I mean, he's a guy that I'm like, oh, I totally forgot that he had a resurgence because he just hasn't had product in the theater in a little while.
Right. And he's not doing Streamo as far as I know. I think he's just taking his time.
Yeah, which is great. And I think that's the thing with Wahlberg is I don't think Wahlberg is at the level that Channing Tatum is right now.
Okay.
Even without the visibility.
Okay.
You know, Channing Tatum's sort of lying low, but I do think that there's more of a want and thirst for Channing Tatum than there is for Wahlberg. Because again, Wahlberg is on Apple TV Plus. He's on Netflix. He's doing these Streamo movies that seem like they don't make him special. And I think another reason why this movie is not going to do well is because Mark Wahlberg isn't special. You can turn on any one of your apps and see one of his movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the director of this movie, of Arthur the King, directed Mark Wahlberg's most recent movie, which was a Netflix Streamo movie called The Family Plan, which I did watch on New Year's Eve.
Is that Netflix?
With my father-in-law. It is Netflix or Amazon
Prime.
No,
I think it's Apple Plus, isn't it?
No, I think that is a Apple Plus. You're right. That was Apple TV Plus. So
see, that's the problem. Here's a problem.
That's a big problem.
It could have been Amazon. It could have been Apple Plus. It could have been Netflix.
Yeah.
It could have been Max. It could have been Tubi. We don't know.
You're not
special, Mark Wahlberg. You used to be special.
Yeah.
And now you're not.
You're not. You used to be the lone survivor. Now there's so many of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're just everywhere. Yeah. I still think, we'll get to our predictions at the end of the episode, tease. To me, this is still the biggest opener of the weekend, I think. But
you mean the biggest newbie, because the holdovers are going to rain.
Yes, and not the holdovers starring Paul Giamatti. You mean the movie's still holding in theaters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like the biggest newbie because, yes, Wahlberg's not special, but he is still very famous. I mean, listen, I think there is something here, and we'll see how it plays out, you know, because I think back to this past holiday, and I'm with the in-laws, and I'm with my father-in-law, great man, you know.
Great man.
Great yeah. man. Who wants...
I was with him too, buddy.
You were there too. And this is someone who does... never asks for anything, never says he wants anything, never says he likes anything. He's just, what can I do for you? Or can I, more honestly, can I be left alone? Mm-hmm. And one of the things, once he asks about something twice, it means that he's dying for this to happen. Mm-hmm. And he twice asked if maybe any of us would want to at some point watch The Family Plan with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to that, in that Mark Wahlberg is still a big draw for a certain demographic. And you put him with a dog, we'll see. But I mean, the big thing is Lionsgate is not promoting this. People are not aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the end is going to be the big problem this weekend. Clayton, let's talk about what I guess is the other big release of the wide releases. And now I'm going to say the title of this movie. Okay.
Glad you're doing it.
The title of this movie from Focus Features, opening this Friday, March 15th, is The American Society of Magical Negroes, is the title of the movie. So
sure it is. Sure it is.
It's the title of the movie. Look it up.
Google it. I believe you.
Okay, so this is a comedy film. We've seen this trailer for months and months. I would mm-hmm. say, I feel like the end of last year, I was already seeing the trailer for this.
Yes.
And it's got the great David Alan Grier.
Dag,
you said it. He is in this movie, and... which, I mean, I think is a draw for Gen Xers like ourselves who were raised on In Living Color.
I'm going to let you get that one. I'm going to let you have that one because you said the title of this movie.
Thank you.
Even though it's patently false.
So
we have the birth certificates.
Yes, we do have the birth certificates. We also graduated high school and college the same year. So if we're different generations, I do have to ask, what does that mean about you, Clayton? So anyway, the American Society of Magical Negroes opens on Friday. We've seen this trailer. I want to like this. It's one of those trailers where I think we watch it. Maybe it is because of how much we like David Alan Grier.
Mm-hmm.
We want to like this. It feels fine. It definitely feels interesting.
I'm gonna damn it. I'm gonna damn it with faint praise.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's what I'm gonna say that most people are gonna say when they see this trailer. That looks cute.
Yes. Yes. That's what this looks. It looks cute. Yeah.
That looks cute. But yeah. Cute don't bring the boys to the yard.
Okay.
Right. The milkshake mm-hmm. brings the boys to the yard, as we all know.
Yep.
And this doesn't feel like a milkshake to me.
Okay.
This feels like Yoo-Hoo.
Oh, wow. You know? Okay.
Like, it's not premium. I could mm-hmm. go to any store, bodega, and grab a Yoo-Hoo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a milkshake, you got to go sit down at a restaurant, and there's something going on there. They're going to put the ice cream in. They're going to do all that, right? That's what this feels like to me.
Okay. Thin.
Thin,
right. Yeah, and for a movie that is a, you know, it's supposed to be a satire, it feels very, here's what I'll use, it feels very twee.
Twee, okay.
It feels very twee. It feels like a early 2000s, you know, and I'm glad that Zach Braff has enough sense to have not made this film. But there's a version of it that feels directed by Zach Braff from its tweeness. And just want to clarify, Zach Braff did not make the American Society of Magical Negroes. There's a lot that people get on Zach Braff for. This is not, he didn't do this. Mm-mm. He didn't do this. It stars Justice Smith, an actor who's, would you say he's got a big young fan base? He's an actor who's in a lot of stuff. He was in Paper Towns. He was in Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
Was he in our beloved Voyeurs?
Was he in the Voyeurs? Wasn't he the boyfriend? Oh, I'm looking to see. I'm not seeing that on his. He was in the Voyeurs. Yes, he was with Sydney Sweeney in the Voyeurs. Good eye. Amazing that you were able to remember anything other than Sydney Sweeney from the Voyeurs. Good film. Okay, this makes me more interested to see it, that one of the Voyeur stars is in a movie. He was also in the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
That's right.
With Chris Pine, that was good. It underperformed because of, I think, where they placed it in the schedule, but he was in that. So he's someone who you definitely is on the verge of a breakout. I don't think this movie is going to be the thing that does it, but he's like a guy on the verge of a breakout. It's going to happen. Means it could happen.
I mean, Chalamet was on the verge of a breakout. Yes. Austin Butler was on the verge of a breakout. Zendaya was on the verge of a breakout. Sydney Sweeney was on the verge of a breakout. Justice Smith is looking for an opportunity to become more known.
Yeah.
And this ain't going to do it.
It's not going to do it. It doesn't seem like it's getting good reviews.
Well, I was just on RogerEbert.com.
Okay, and he's back.
His name is still there, and they have a lot of reviewers on that site. And I was just, we were trying to look for the release date of this film, and one star. So whatever that means, and I'm sure this is a movie that could be divisive depending on who you're talking to. So we're not going to wade into that situation at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that site usually has people who actually just talk about the quality of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it got one star does not seem great.
Right.
I think we're looking at a comp for this with a movie that was also not very well promoted other than in the theaters.
Okay.
Where we saw the trailer a lot. Book of Clarence. I think this is a Book of Clarence situation.
I think this has a wider... Oh, I think this movie...
It's a comedy. It's supposed to be...
It is, but I think just by virtue of being in the modern world, it is a movie that will appeal to a bigger audience. I mean, it's a tough sell to be like, this movie takes place in Jesus times. People don't want to see that. So I do think at least the American Society of Magical Negroes...
What did you just say? People don't want movies that take place in Jesus time.
Well, Jesus is
a huge IP.
No, I know that. But a movie that specifically Book of Clarence is a movie that is not a church bus movie. So a church bus movie, of course, if you could set it in Jesus times and have Jesus be in it, sure. But a movie that is supposed to appeal and be a satire. I don't think right now that's an easy sell. A modern movie is an easier sell. Come on.
True. But can
that's
we
all
just,
I'm saying.
Why are we saying Book of Clarence? Okay. I'm not arguing that anymore. What should we argue next?
Move on to our next argument.
Why are we talking about this movie so much?
Well, because
Hold on. I think we need to just say.
Yeah.
Book of Clarence 2.5. It opened at 2.5.
Right.
Does this go higher or lower than that?
Yes, higher.
Higher. How much higher, Pat?
I don't know how much higher. I think twice as much. I think this will do over 5. I think it could do over 5.
I don't see that.
I think that it is still a modern set movie with a romance in it. David Alan Greer, I guess he means nothing.
You can't really tell me David Alan Greer is going to put any butts
Book
in the
seats. Book of Clarence, I get the surface level comparison, that you're making, but I think that that movie is so much tougher of a sell. So much
tougher
of a sell.
They're both satirical. They're both satirical.
But you're talking about a movie.
And they're comedies.
But it's that is a movie that is not set in modern times, and I think that is a much tougher sell, especially for a comedy. People would rather see characters have cell phones, and I think this movie at least says these characters will have cell phones.
Can you think of a comp for this film that has been released in the last 3 years?
It's a satirical movie. I mean, American Fiction's a satire. I mean, I'm obviously this movie's not going to be as good. This movie's got 36% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not predicting this movie to do 20 million. I'm just saying it's definitely going to do better in Book of Clarence. It's an easier sell.
All right. I disagree. I don't think it's going to do that much more.
It's an easier sell. Book of Clarence looked bananas when you saw the trailer. This movie at least is just, all right, these people are going to try and date in an office and there'll be some magic. And I think that's an easier sell. Last new movie coming out wide from Bleecker Street. Bleecker Street is back and it's got One Life starring Anthony Hopkins. Have you seen this trailer, Clayton? Clayton, stop sleeping on the job. Come on, we got a podcast to do. This ain't no. I'm not letting I'll remove you from the StreamYard. If you don't wake up, I'm removing you from the StreamYard. All right,
I'm sorry, you were talking about something?
One Life. That's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to Anthony Hopkins, disrespectful to Bleecker Street. Have you seen
Bleecker Street? That'll make me go to sleep.
Have you seen this trailer?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think? You're doing your whole sleep bit, which I don't think is going to catch on. I don't think America loves it. I don't think your sleeping bit's the new Wayne's World. I'll just say it. But what do you think of this One Life, Anthony Hopkins? He's a guy who was in London and then he went to go save young children from you know,
I'm fading
from Hitler, before Hitler. So there you go. Again, I don't think the sleeping bit is going to be big. I don't think it's going to be big. Clay,
zero impact, Pat. This movie will make zero impact.
But it's got Anthony Hopkins, and it's like a Schindler's List type premise. But the premise seems to be that it's what if Schindler had acted earlier, tried to get people out before Hitler.
Is that really what this movie is about?
That's what it's about. It's he tried to get these Jewish kids out of, I don't know what country, Prussia or somewhere, before Hitler took over there. And then here's the twist. So that's what this guy did. And then modern day, we're on a talk show where he's now an old man.
Is it Richard Bey?
Well, that's the thing. So the talk show, and see, now you're into it because
if it's Richard Bey
comparison. So now there's a talk show where Anthony Hopkins is an old man, is the guest, and they do a This Is Your Life type thing. And they bring out, I guess now, the adult versions of some of the kids that he saved from the invading Nazis. And it's like,
was he on Valerie? Was he on a Tempest? Which talk show is this?
I don't know. This, maybe it's a Sally Jesse. I mean, that's the thing, is it's set on a talk show. And I think there was a time where a movie like this, where the framing device is a guy as a guest on a talk show, would have been big. And I think this is the worst time for that kind of framing device.
Yeah, I said Valerie. I meant Vicky. So my apologies. Vicky. Yeah, I meant Vicky, of course.
Valerie is sitcom. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Now, so Pat, what do you think then?
Oh, I think no impact. I think this movie makes no impact.
Okay, great.
But we have to mention it. What do you have? What do you got? An appointment? You have a late night dentist appointment?
I think there's so many movies.
We gotta be thorough. We gotta be thorough.
There's so many movies that we don't mention because they're going to make zero impact, that the fact that you were forcing me to talk about this movie against my will, is galling to me, right? I mean, there's so many movies that we just
want to
over.
Ignore the Bleecker Street release
yes,
of an Anthony
yes.
Hopkins movie that's set on a talk show looking back to pre-World War II times. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
So you think no impact on this?
No, you said you agree no impact.
No, I totally agree no impact. This movie's got no impact at the box office. It's probably, they say wide, but this is probably opening in like 900 theaters.
Well that's the other thing. That. Yeah. So do you think this even makes top 10?
No, I don't think this makes top 10. Of course not.
Okay.
Of course not.
All right.
It's a movie set on a talk show looking at an old man's life.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
There's no impact for this movie, but we had to mention it.
Yes, we could have said also opening.
You know, there's no time limit on this show. We're not looking to hit commercial breaks.
I know, but we have emails we can talk about. We have other things that we could talk about than wasting time talking about this movie that you even said will have no impact.
None.
Zero impact. Okay.
Zero impact, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's Bleecker Street. Come on. But we had to talk about it.
I think, like I said, the holdovers, the leftovers from last week are the story.
Okay.
It's going to be, what does Panda 4 hold? What's the hold there?
I know.
What's the hold on Dune 2?
Mm-hmm.
That's big. Can Cabrini bounce back?
Could Cabrini flippity-floppity with Imaginary?
Will Imaginary disappear?
Yeah.
Chauncey dead?
Oh, Chauncey the Bear. Chauncey the Bear from Imaginary is dead. Yeah, Chauncey the Bear will have slightly more impact than One Life starring Anthony Hopkins, which will have no impact.
Okay, so then do we want to just do a few emails and then we'll do our top five?
Well, here's what I'm suggesting. And you tell me, we're going to decide this live on the air. We've got a different show coming up that's about to debut. We're announcing.
I don't think we do mailbag on there.
We don't do mailbag on
there. No, no.
Okay, we just do the news.
Let's do mailbag here, because this is where the listeners listen.
This is where the listeners listen. Okay. All right. So then let's do, you're the one dying to jump into the mailbag, so pull out an envelope.
Okay. So we need to talk about a email that we got that we sort of slept on.
And okay. Yes.
A wannabe O boy helped bump it back up to the top. There was a lot going on at the time we got this email.
Yep.
So
Oscars, a lot going
on. Yeah. Wannabe O boy Reese, who gave us the pronunciation. Thank you. You see, he's a true fan because he knows I would have no clue how to pronounce the name.
Yeah.
And that's on me, not on you for being named that.
Yep. He knows you're a mush mouth.
I am a self-admitted mush mouth. So hey, boys, wannabe O boy Reese here, pronounced Reese. Thank you. I have to agree with y'all's prediction that Twisters will be big. In fact, I'll raise you. I think Twisters will be the number one movie of the summer.
Wow.
It'll be a four quadrant hit that will be slightly male skewing, but ladies will be on board for the Glenn Powell of it all. I'm a bit surprised that the Top Gun comparison hasn't been made. Top Gun Maverick, of course. They have the same USA energy to them, without spelling it out on paper. So the Joe Lunch Pails will be there in force along with everyone else. Also, if it doesn't star Tom Cruise, let's be real, he's one more Mission Impossible movie away from trying the hot wings.
Mm-hmm.
That's a damning statement. But
that's damning.
I kind of agree. The Tornadoes and the cowboy hat are the stars of this one. Also, if this is a mega hit, which it will be, I do want to know the percentage that goes to that hat. And if the hat is the value add to Glenn Powell, or Glenn Powell is the value add to that hat. So I think that this is such a bold prediction.
It's so bold. It's so bold. I can't agree with it, but it's bold. And I love how bold it is.
But we are in a changing landscape. And the fact that there's even a possibility that this could be true, if somebody sent this email in 2019, we'd say that, well, that's impossible because you have superhero movies at their peak.
Right. Height of their
now,
power. Disney remakes. Yeah.
Yeah. Disney remakes. I mean, in fact, Disney at the height of its power, frankly.
Yep.
Because even a god-awful Star Wars movie did well enough that year.
Yeah.
I think that the fact that this is a true possibility is positive.
Oh, yeah.
For theaters. Now, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. I do think there is an Americana, middle America sort of feel to this movie that is going to get people who don't normally go to movies. I mean, you might see people who last movie they went to see was Maverick, and now they're seeing Twisters. And that's a huge contingent of people.
Yep.
So we'll see. But I love this, Reese. I love this bold prediction. And man, if you are right, then that is a huge home run that you just hit.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously we're not going to do our summer preview, but just glancing around, here's my big thoughts. There's certain movies that there's no way Twisters is going to beat domestically the box office, like Inside Out 2, Deadpool and Wolverine. No matter what we think of the superhero genre, it's waning. That ain't happening. That's not happening. You know,
so I think that the kids love Ennui so much.
Yes.
That they're going to say, Ennui, give me the pillowcase. Give me the sleeping bag.
Yep.
Give me the sheets. Give me the nightcap.
Give me the plushies. Yeah. Give me the slippers.
Ennui,
give me the coloring
slippers.
Books, stickers. I think that was the first one was a $1 billion movie. Even if a big drop off, Inside Out 2 is going to be bigger than Twister. So what I'm saying is there are certain movies that Despicable Me 4, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Twisters is not sniffing, you know, any of these minions. Little shorts or whatever they wear. That ain't happening.
I think it's bib jeans.
Yes, they're in bib jeans. Yeah, Twisters ain't sniffing the Minions bib jeans at the box office. But I think there's a big batch of just other regular summer movies that feel bigger than Twisters in some way that I definitely think Twisters could end up being the top of that heap. You know, you're looking at your Furiosas, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Quiet Place Day One prequel, you know, like all of these movies, and man, this summer really is light. You know, The Fall Guy, I will talk about a lot. I think that got a boost from Gosling at the Oscars and just being so much more famous now. I think Twisters could be the top of that heap, but I do think there's three movies that it just has no chance to beat.
Okay.
That's where I would put it. But I do think that Twisters could be the one right after those.
Yeah, I mean, if this thing makes, if this thing makes $200 million domestic, it's going to be great for Glenn Powell. And
yes.
But I mean, you want it to make in the threes, if possible.
Yes. Yeah. Great email. So thank you, Wannabe Oh Boy Reese, for that one.
B.O. Tour. Sean,
Sean,
happy to hear you're considering Boston for your tour. I imagine you want to go big with the venue, like the Wilbur, friend of the show Kirk, performed there. However, if you're looking to go underground, I have access to many a church basement. Sean, alcoholic.
Yeah, he signs it Sean Alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Love that. I love the honesty.
Yep.
I love that he's so present and honest. And he brings up the tour. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, would you consider a church basement?
You know, I would consider a church basement.
Home of many a punk show, many a pancake breakfast.
Yeah.
Many an AA meeting.
Football weddings. Yeah.
Yep. So we would be in great company in a church basement.
Yes. What I would love is if we do something like that, the B.O. Boys live show in Boston starts in the actual church. you know, or at least a guest spot. You know, the BO boys get to get up on the microphone during the mass with the priest, with the preacher, with the deacon, whoever, and do a couple of minutes about that weekend's box office, and then say the live show starts, you know, right after communion downstairs in the church basement.
Okay.
And then we do the show in the church basement. I'd want that part of the deal. That would have to be part of the deal for me, is that we get a segment on the actual mass upstairs before just we head plug to the basement.
Well, I mean, we can go there early Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. If we do it Sunday night,
right?
Like you said, we go mm-hmm. in there, and yeah. when the priest reads scripture or whatever, what is that? When he
the gospel,
gospel. What he gives you the message for the week, like yeah, his the homily. Message for the week,
his editorial, yeah,
basically his Andy hot Rooney, takes. His hot yep. takes,
yeah.
And we sit in, we give ours. He says, thank you, the BO boys, Pat and Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
You can see them tonight in the basement where they'll be right. doing their live podcast. I think yes. we just do a segment. We're not just there the segment. Whole time. We don't want to take the stage from God and Jesus and right. all that.
We don't want to make the mass run too long, too. It's also, exactly. we're looking to do this in November. So, you know, we're at that point then. The long masses are fighting the NFL. So we obviously don't want to take up too much time.
Or we go up there the and we do communion. It's like almost like Hot Ones, only with the communion wafers and wine.
Right. They interview
the
us.
The priest is asking wafers. Us questions yeah. while we eat the wafers. We drink the wine.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, that's an internet show if there is. I mean, you know.
That is a great show. You have to dip the Eucharist in like hot sauces. As the priest.
Well, we'd be stealing. We can't steal the hot sauce situation. I mean, I think it's just you're it's eating just communion wafers. And they're just different kinds of wafers.
Yeah, I think it's more like the more, as you go down the line of wafers, they're blessed more heavily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to answer questions while feeling the Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit stronger within you.
With each one,
so
yeah.
Yeah, so your head is spinning, and plus you're drinking wine, and that communion wine is, you know, that is some pure-ass wine.
I mean, wannabe old boy Sean will tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. So
He is an alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that is the show.
That's the show. That's
is the more, show. Yeah, the more you go, the more blessed it is.
Yeah, that's the show. All right, so Sean, great. I mean, I think honestly we might take you up on that. Obviously, you know, the Boston show, rumors running rampant, who might be our special guest in Boston, and you know, maybe then we're looking to do a huge venue. But maybe we do want to just keep it simple. And listen, also these church basements, they're
huge.
Pretty big. They're huge. They're
it's
huge.
It's Boston. So, they got huge churches.
They got huge churches. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe it is a big special guest in a church basement in Boston. I love it. So, Sean, let's talk. Let's talk when you, yeah. you know. So let's get into our top fives. Let's just
yeah,
do
let's
this.
Do it. Let's do it.
Okay. So would you like to go first or second in the top five? I'll give you the honor of choosing.
Well, I'll go second.
Okay. Okay. So very interesting, because like we said, a lot of new movies, including One Life. But what will the impact be for any of them? Okay. So here's where I'm going. Number one, I think number one is going to be... I guess it's got to be Kung Fu Panda 4. I'm curious mm-hmm. to see if you go the same way. This movie made $58 million. If it drops 50%, we're looking at like $29 million. So then Dune Part 2 probably makes just under that, but I think it could make high 20s. It could be a real battle for number one this weekend. It really could be, but I do think Kung Fu Panda 4 overperformed last weekend. I think the kids love it, Jack Black. So I think it'll hang on to number one, but that's going to be real tight up top. Mm-hmm. Then number three, I think is going to be the Mark Wahlberg movie, which Arthur the King. I think Arthur the King is going to be number three. And I think it gets to double digits. I think it does like 11 million. It's Mark Wahlberg with a dog. I know there's no promotion, but he's such a big star and it's a dog. So I think that's number three. Number four, I think it's going to be the American Society of Magical Negroes. I do think that that is just has enough awareness and is going to be in enough theaters that I think it makes like 6 million. I think it gets to 5 or 6. And I do think that's enough for number four, because then I think number five is Cabrini with like 4 million. Imaginary is going to drop off the face of the earth. This Chauncey the Bear is a total washout.
Mm-hmm.
So I think then Cabrini's five. And then Love Lies Bleeding doesn't matter. I don't, maybe that Love Lies Bleeding makes the top 10 because it's going to get ahead of like Ordinary Angels and Madam Web and Migration and stuff that's still floating around the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anthony Hopkins' One Life is just so inconsequential. It's not worth talking about.
Yeah, I wanted to see what Kung Fu Panda 2, which was the largest opening of them all, right? Or no, was it the first one was the...
I think the first. They've each gotten less until this one.
Until this one, which is the second highest. I want to see what the first one dropped.
I mean, it's a kid's movie, so I do think that these kids' movies usually do hold pretty well. I mean, we've seen histories where sometimes they... You know, they got the first one, Kung Fu Panda in 2008, opened to 60 million. And then the following weekend, 33 million. So 44% drop. Like,
okay.
Great hold for these movies.
Yeah. I mean, and I would say I'm seeing similar here for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is then going to be what? What did you say it was going to drop?
I thought around 50, so 50%. So I'm thinking it gets to 29 or 30 million second weekend.
Yeah. So I'll say like 32.
Okay.
I'd say 32. I also think Dune does a small drop as well.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible it could be in the 30s.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible Dune 2 beats Kung Fu Panda, even if Kung Fu Panda does well.
Yeah, I do think that it's going to be Kung Fu Panda for number one, Dune Part Two, number two,
mm-hmm.
but still really driving great business to the box office.
Yep.
I agree that I think the next movie is going to be, you know, I think the next movie is going to still be Imaginary.
Oh, wow. You're high on this Chauncey the Bear. Wow.
I'm not high on Chauncey the Bear. I'm low on Magical Society.
Okay. And you're low on Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Number three. Arthur the King. 9.9 for Mark Wahlberg. Under that Imaginary is going to make like 5.
Okay.
And then Magical Society is going to make 4.2. It's going to cry macho.
So you think Imaginary is going to have a 50% or maybe even 49% drop. You know, your 9.9 is what it made last weekend. And you're predicting 5. So you think like a pretty good hold for Imaginary.
It just, there's no other horror. And I don't think anything is competing with it.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything new that anybody wants to see.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, we'll see a lot of movies. And Love Lies Bleeding, what's your final number? Does it make the top 10?
Love Lies Bleeding.
Right. Do you think it makes $1 million?
I mean, I think it could make two.
Okay. In which case, then it would definitely.
Because there's so much promotion. There's so much promotion by Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. No, if it makes $2 million, it's going to knock out a bunch of stuff that was in last week's top 10. Very interesting. All right, we'll see. I'm very excited to see what all these movies do this weekend. As always, we'll have a packed show going over the results. So Clayton, I hinted at it before, but I do want to let listeners of the podcast and viewers of the BO Boys YouTube channel know that we're going to have a new show debuting. Probably as you listen to this, it'll be there. We've been doing web exclusive content on the BO Boys channel, the after BO, fun stuff. Really, people are loving that on the BO Boys channel, but we're kind of moving that content over to another network. We're going to be doing some shows for the Kirk Minahan Show YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, our full episodes of the podcast, those are all going to be on the BO Boys YouTube channel. But we're also going to be sort of moving our web exclusive stuff, our after BO. We're going to be doing that over on the Kirk Minahan YouTube channel for a bit, see how that goes. And we're very excited about it. His show was on that channel. He's got other sister shows that are on there. So we're joining network. It's going to be a very must-see TV situation. So by the time you listen to this, our first episode, our first Kirk exclusive episode on that channel will be up. And I know the thing we're going to be talking a lot about. So you got to go there to watch us talk about this. Neve Campbell coming back to the Scream franchise. That is what we will be discussing. So you got to look up the Kirk Minahan Show YouTube channel. And we'll be there. We'll be there waiting with our first ever Kirk exclusive BO Boys episode, talking Neve Campbell, Scream, other big movie news. And are you excited for our new show?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited for our new platform.
Yes. 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 A new platform. And here's the thing. We're going to go over there. And from what I've heard, it's no holds barred.
Get out the caution tape for sure.
Yeah. So very exciting. So go to the Kirk Minahan YouTube channel and the BO Boys will have an episode there, or have something there for you. Email us, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. We love getting your emails, as you could tell. If you have a church basement in your city that you'd like to recommend, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Of course, like I said, we have our YouTube channel. That's still going. So watch full episodes of the show there. Follow us on social media at @theboboyspod on TikTok and Twitter X. WannaBO senior intern Christopher is killing it with these clips, nonstop, clipping them out. He's doing a great job. And of course, he's still taking offers for he could intern in the summer and fall. He'll still be here, of course, but he's always looking to take on more internships.
Yep.
And of course, WannaBO junior intern Jack, killing it on the Substack, brought it back 2 articles a week, just writing up a storm. Listen, is he the next Scott Mendelson? There probably could never be another Scott Mendelson, but Jack he's setting himself up to be the next generation there. So read the BO Boys Substack, subscribe, and 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And of course, live show, more info coming, of course, on those dates and cities. And
LA is, we don't have tickets on sale for LA yet, but the venue is booked.
October 8th. So buy your plane tickets, hotel and plane. That's the thing, is the hotels. This is like when Taylor Swift announced a date, It's not just the tickets to the show. It's the hotel rooms go fast. So book your hotel rooms if you're traveling to Los Angeles. October 8th is the show. Get your hotel rooms, you know, or whatever, wherever you're going to be staying, get those reserved now. And that's it. That's all I got, Clay.
Oh, there's nothing else to say.
No, nothing. Nothing.
Except for, until next time.
We'll smell you at the box office.